Okay, we're gonna try this again, but we have some company. Welcome back, everybody. Today is Friday of the first full week of Lent.
And it's good to see you. The end of the week, and we continue to reflect upon Father Fernandez's book, In Conversation with God, sharing with you what stood out to us and why.
Sin is always a personal act, since it is an act of freedom on the part of an individual person and not properly of a group or community. To unload man of this responsibility would be to deny the person's dignity and freedom. Hence, there is nothing so personal and untransferable in each individual as merit for virtue or responsibility for sin.
This grabs my attention because I think there's a tendency within us not to take responsibility for our sin.
Well, I think in general, I think people just don't take responsibility for anything.
That is true. Why? I got a thought on that.
Okay, go for it.
I like to answer my own questions. And laugh at my own jokes. But anyways, going back to the Garden of Eden, we have Adam and Eve. They take the eat of the fruit. They fall out of relationship with God. God comes to them, and their response is telling. Adam says, the woman, that you put me here with God, she deceived me and I ate. So he's blaming the woman, right? And he's blaming God. He's going like this. He's not blaming himself. So then God goes to the woman and says, what is this you have done? The woman says, the serpent, he deceived me and I ate. And ever since then, I think mankind has a finger-pointing problem. We inherit this struggle, this spiritual wound, I think, right from the very... It's part of the fall, right? A failure to take responsibility for our actions. Mm-hmm. And I see this, I believe, manifested in this victim mentality in the world right now. People are pointing to their lives, pointing to their disadvantages, saying, well, this is just because of the history that we grew up in. And they point to the forefathers of countries or the historical events of the past. And now that is the reason why I am the way I am. Now, I will have to say that there is things in the past that do affect people today. That's true. But there has to come a point when you look yourself in the mirror and say, I take 100% responsibility for my life. Otherwise, it's contrary to the dignity of ourselves. God has created us free. He's given us a will, an intellect, an ability to choose. And if we're always playing this victim card, we're saying my life is out of control. I'm not responsible for the person I am. God has given us free will, despite even the most difficult circumstances we may have come out of. So I'm not saying that the past is not important. I'm not saying it doesn't shape us, but we are free. We can never forget that. And when we do forget that, we tend not to go to God and confess our sin in an honest way. We blame the circumstance. We blame the wife. We blame the kids. Oh, if my kids weren't so selfish, I wouldn't be so angry.
I like to blame you for a lot of my problems.
Well, we won't discuss that. What's next?
Okay. There also exist sins and faults which go unnoticed because of our lack of a spirit of examination, a lack of refinement of conscience. They are like tough weeds, the roots of which have remained in the soul and which we need to eradicate by means of penance to prevent them from springing up again and bringing forth bitter fruits. Okay, I love this because I feel like, okay, there's a remedy, there's a solution. How do we get rid of these things? Well, first of all, we have to figure out what those things are. And he says that we have to do a thorough examination of conscience. And so, you know, even just going online, looking up examinations of consciences, doing a few of them, because I find there's like different ones have really strong points in different areas. Mm-hmm. And it's really good, even, you know, even to be talking with someone who you feel like you can trust, who might be able to, you know, shed some light on some of your faults without you feeling a little defensive about it. Because we need that. We need like a mirror, mm-hmm. someone to tell us, because otherwise we're just going to continuously be living with these deep rooted weeds that are going to affect the way that we behave and live. But the other thing, the solution is penance, mortification. It's like mortifications at meals, you know, even just fasting or abstaining from food, or even just growing in our punctuality, being respectful of time. And when we say we're going to be somewhere, that we actually be there and that we don't linger and delay or dilly dally, you know, we have those issues in our home. We like to be on time. Not you. What? Do I dilly-dally?
No.
Anyhow.
Punctual.
Also, just keeping guard over our imagination. We talked about this the other day, right? Mortifications of the mind, of our intellect. The penance that God asks of us as Christians in the midst of the world should be discreet and cheerful. We should try to let it pass unnoticed, but we should not fail to practice it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
my God. Come here. Sit with me and we'll finish up.
You guys scared me. Okay, we're going to try this again, but we have some company because we have no sitter and...
This is our life.
This is our life. Okay, so the penance that God asks of us as Christians in the midst of the world should be discreet and cheerful. We should try to let it pass unnoticed, but we should not fail to practice it in a large number of specific deeds. It could be the offering up of an illness or just tiredness, giving way and surrendering our own opinion, putting everything into our work, which we do well and finish off for the love of God, imposing order on our effects and personal things. Well, if we really want to root out sin and we want to break some of these, you know, maybe some habitual things or things that we, some sinful, you know, habits that we have that maybe we aren't even aware of, acts of penance will really help to mortify us and to shed light in those areas.
The one that stood out to me was giving up my own opinion. You know, I like to give my opinion. Like,
not really.
We do this full time.
Yeah, but like in conversation with people.
That's right.
You have to have something to say when there's a camera on you. So I'm not going to be the one doing all the talking. Right,
I'm not going to share my opinion on anything.
When the fault has been forgiven, the remains of the sin, dispositions caused by the previous acts, remain. Nevertheless, they are weakened and diminished in such a way as not to dominate man. Indeed, they persist more as dispositions than as habits.
Just a closing thought. I think it's important to remember that when we do confess sin, there is a St. Thomas, that's a quote from St. Thomas, says there's a disposition that remains in one sense, it doesn't say a habit, but almost like an inclination or something towards that same sin that we've confessed. Maybe it is still habitual, but to be aware that simply because we have confessed something doesn't mean we won't struggle with it again. And just because we struggle with it again doesn't mean we weren't sincere in our confession. Sometimes we, as you really did well talk about the penances, sometimes we have to mortify our flesh. We have to fast. We have to sacrifice in order to retrain ourselves because sin wounds us and we have those dispositions to those things that we tend to confess.
Right.
So with that, I think... Are we done?
Yeah.
Okay, so share with us what stood out to you and why in comments below. The rosary is going to be right up there. Maria or Sarah, do you want to say anything in closing?
What are you going to say?
Be beautiful.
Oh, yes. Sarah, Maria?
Bye.
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 All right.
Bye. See ya.
Oh my goodness, you guys scared me.